This Bible is what? It's composed of two things, really. The whole thing. It says the volume of the book is written about who? Jesus. Amen? So how many guys know the law was not for you to fulfill? It says it was given so that sin would increase. It was to show man that he can't do it. Does that make sense? But we've been taught for years in church, like, follow this law. Follow these rules. And how many of you guys know all it can do is judge you? At the end, you just go, Lord, I give up. I can't do this. So there was an old one. Amen? And then there's a new one. And the whole thing, if you start taking stories out of the old covenant and don't know it's about types and shadows, it's not the real thing. So you got two things. The only people that the old covenant was judgmental to, where the fire and the judgment of Jehovah God fell on, was the ones that went away from God. They started mixing, like the old prophets, kings, and priests in the old covenant, is when the Jews, with the old covenant, when they would go and serve other gods, he would always send a prophet or somebody to warn them, hey, listen, you can only serve one. He goes, you're the adulterers. You're the ones that you have two wives here. You're married to me, but then you're married to Beelzebub or some other. And he goes, you can't do that. And if you don't, unless you change your ways, unless you change that, the fire of God, the judgment will come on you. But then there's always pictures of the new covenant too, like with Noah and different things like that. Does that make sense? So I'm trying to show you, how many of you guys are getting a better understanding of the Bible, basically? That's what I'm trying to show you. So when you read this, it's actually good news. And I just got to tell you, if you're reading something, I'll just tell you what I do. Well, maybe not, because you think, man, he's mildly stupid, but it works for me. So this is what I do, is I go, if something doesn't fit this new covenant mindset that's full of grace and truth, amen, then I know I'm missing it somewhere. So I put my Bible down and I go, Lord, show me what I'm missing here, because I'm interpreting this as judgment, and it can't be judgment in the new covenant. It's impossible. Amen? So, and then I'm not saying it comes right then, but like that week or something, Barb and I have these moments all the time, like, oh, I got it. And she's like, what? I go, man, this is what this means finally. I'm like, oh, and then you always have these aha moments, like, ah. Oh. So I'm trying to tell you, don't read the old covenant and think it's necessarily anytime there's judgment there, it's not written to you. Amen? There's always a grace part. And that's the old covenant was fire and judgment. The new covenant is grace and truth. Amen? You guys get that? So let's continue this thing, because I've seen this the whole time. How many of you guys want a double portion? Now, I'm going to teach you something that's a little confusing. It doesn't come from a man praying on you and giving you his spirit. I know that some of you guys have been taught, and you know, you get in this line, and the man of God or the woman of God comes and lays his hands on you. The double portion is the firstborn's portion. Now, there was a firstborn. Who was the first Adam? Well, I told you. Who was the first man that was born? Adam, right? And the first, so Elisha comes to Elijah. Elisha's the second one, so he's a picture of the new covenant. Elijah's the old one. And I'm going to show you this in Scripture, but he says, he goes to Elijah, and so it's a picture of Jesus, and he says, I want your spirit, the double portion, the firstborn's portion, to fall on me. So the judgment and fire of God fell on Jesus. But the spirit of Elisha is what he's going to transfer to you. And he said, listen, if you see me go, it's good that I go away, because I'm going to give you my mantle. I'm going to give you the double portion of me, which is his spirit, the firstborn. He says, I'm the firstborn of the new covenant. You guys get this? So the double portion doesn't mean, man, I'm super anointed. Even though you are. But that's what people think. I want his spirit. I want a double portion of his spirit. And they're missing the whole thing. The double portion was the firstborn's portion. He got double because he had to take care of the rest of the family. You go look in the old covenant. Anytime the firstborn, that's why there was always fights. So that I want to be the firstborn. That was Enoch and Jacob. You know, like, hey, get the best part over here. So Jesus goes, I'm the firstborn of the new covenant. And you know what? The spirit that's on me, when I go, it's good that I go, because I'm going to send you what? The comforter, and you're going to get my spirit. So now you carry the mantle of Jesus Christ, which is the firstborn. You're a joint heir. So you, what I'm trying to show you is you are super anointed. You don't need a man of God to come anoint you. Jesus was the anointing. Amen? You guys get that? He goes, I put my, in the old covenant, they had pictures of it. They would rub oil on you. Literally, that's what anoint means, to rub oil. In the new covenant, he said, I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh, not just the prophets, priests, and kings. I'm going to pour it out on handmaidens and everybody, every one of you, even the Gentiles. Whoa, that messed up the Jews, right? That's ours. That's supposed to be ours. And that Peter and everybody goes, listen, it fell on the Gentiles. And when did it fall? If you go look at it, when Peter's preaching, said, in Cornelius' house, as soon as it said, and they knew they were forgiven of sins, the grace, the curse has been reversed every time. And when they realize they're no longer full of sin, even though they're sinning, this is where Christians miss it. Yeah, but I sin today. I know that. I'm trying to show you that you're dead to that, and he doesn't judge you based on your effort anymore. If you do, you're going to wear yourself out. He's going to judge you based on Jesus' work. That was the whole point of the old covenant. Really, you think you can work? I'll make it harder. Well, I can do this. Then I'll make it harder. Until you finally go, Uncle, I'm over. I'm sick of this Christian thing. He goes, now you're where I need you. Let me pour out my grace on you. That's all I need. When your strength is depleted, he goes, my strength is perfect for you. That's the whole old and new covenant. Amen? So I'm going to show you this. It's really good, Elijah and Elisha, when you get this. So I want you to read the Bible now with some common sense, is really what I'm trying to show you. In fact, I didn't put this, so it's just coming to me, though. Let's go to 2 Kings 1, because I'm going to show you this transition and how you can interpret where the old covenant was types and shadows, but the new covenant is actually the fulfillment. Does that make sense? So Jesus already said that John the Baptist was who? Elijah. Because I tell you the truth, if you can hear it, I've already sent you Elijah, it's John the Baptist. So Elijah met Elisha at the River Jordan. So Jesus is telling them at the River Jordan, hey, I've already sent you this prophet that's going to warn Israel of judgment unless you repent. That was Elijah. Does that make sense? So if Elijah is John the Baptist, who's Elisha? Jesus. So those were types and shadows, but the real Elijah was John the Baptist. The real Elisha was Jesus. Elijah was Jehovah God, El-Yah, Jehovah. God introduced himself to Moses as Jehovah. I'm the Lord God. Elisha is the God of salvation. Does that make sense to you guys? The Lord God, he goes, I'm just. But the God of salvation, Elisha, he goes, I didn't come to judge man, I came to save them. It's a different spirit. You guys get it? That's why the disciples, when they went to Samaria and the villagers didn't receive him, the disciples are like, we're better than that because we receive you, Jesus. You want us to call down fire like Elijah and burn these people up? What was Jesus' answer? That's a good idea. No, he rebuked them, is what it says. I rebuke that. You don't know what spirit you're of. Most Christians don't know what spirit they're of. They're still running around trying to pray for the spirit of Elijah. You don't want that one. Sorry. It's going to be very judgmental. And you're going to think you're self-righteous. And it's going to be ugly for you. Because behind closed doors, you're like, why do I hurt so much? Why do I think I'm better than these people? That's the spirit of Elijah. Amen? And you're always in the back of your mind going, man, I wonder if God's going to judge me for that thing I did 2 weeks ago. See, the spirit of Elisha goes, I removed all of that. Hallelujah. So let's go to 2 Kings 1. I want to show you how this is a type and shadow. So guys, even the whole Old Testament. So he's talking to these kings, right? And he's telling these kings, he says, listen, if you're a king in your kingdom, if you don't repent and stop mixing between God and other gods, etc., don't be married to me and somebody else. He calls it adultery, he calls it the spirit of Jezebel, all these different things. There was a prophet there that says, listen, I'm going to send a prophet to you, and I'm just going to tell you, he says, if you don't change, then your king, and you're going to die, king, and your kingdom's going to be replaced. Right? So Elijah tells the same thing to the Jews. He says, listen, hey, the kingdom of God is at hand. If you don't repent, guess what? This whole kingdom system, the real king's on the scene now. If you don't repent, this kingdom's going to be taken to you, and it's going to be cast into the sea. Now the seas, I should do a teaching on this because it's so good. Heaven and earth to the Jew, you know what, if you ask, what's heaven and earth to the Jew, you know what they'll tell you? The temple. It's where heaven meets earth. There was a holiest of holies. There's a holy place. There's the courts. That's heaven is the holiest of holies. And then the earth is where man meets the Father. The outer, all that was the seas. It's literally, that's the world. That's their kingdom systems. A Jew to this day, if you go, what is this heaven and earth and the seas? They'll go, it's the temple system. Only the Jews can go in, but only ones, the high priest, can go in and meet with the Father every day. Amen? So John the Baptist and Jesus themselves, they come on the scene and they go, listen, unless you repent, this whole kingdom system, your kingdom is going to die and it's going to be cast into the sea. Were they diasporid? Were they cast into the Gentile nations? Yes, they were done in Babylon, but that was a type and shadow. The real one was the destruction of the temple in AD 70. He said, listen, if you guys don't repent, this is the real guy. All those were types and shadows, but if you don't repent, your kingdom's going to die, and guess what? You're going to be cast into the sea. It happened. So let's just go to 2 Kings 1. Then he said to them, so here's the king, And a man came up to meet us and said to us, this is verse 6. So they said to him, a man came up to meet us and said to us, go return to the king who sent you and say to him, thus says the Lord, it is because there is no God in Israel that you're sending to inquire of Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron. Therefore, you shall not come down from this sick bed, is what he's talking about, which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. So what he's saying, this is a type and shadow. This kingdom system, the king, you're going to die. Then, this is the king speaking, verse 7, then he said to them, what kind of man is it who came up to meet you and told you these words? So he answered them, a hairy man, wearing a leather belt around his waist. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite. See, these are types and shadows. The real Elijah was John the Baptist, and the real Elisha was Jesus. You guys getting this? So these old covenants, if you start trying to take lessons from this and don't understand these are types and shadows, I promise you, you'll probably misinterpret it and start putting judgment on yourself. It's not about you. What he's telling them is he goes, this is a type and shadow. The king, this kingdom system that you have is going to be taken from you and you're going to die. Who's going to warn you in the new covenant? What did Jesus say when they said to John the Baptist? What did you go out to see? A king? A prince? No, you came out to see this guy who eats honey and locusts and he's hairy and he wears a belt around his waist. It's exact type fulfillment. Does that make sense? Okay, so are you getting this? It really ends out well. So let's keep going. All right. Because I'm going to show you that you've already received the double portion. I don't know if I did that, Jeff, but if we can go to the first slide. All right, 2 Kings 2:9. So this is the transition from Elijah, the old covenant, the fire and judgment, right? If you go look at it, Elijah always called down fire and judgment, right? And who is the fire and judgment ultimately going to come down on? Two people. If they don't believe, it's going to come down on this whole kingdom system, this Jewish system that's going to be dispersed into the sea. But if they see that Jesus was the real one, then they have a Lamb of God that they can repent, and the judgment won't fall on them. So Jesus took the spirit of Elijah. I'll show you this. So 2 Kings 2:9, and so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, this is all happening at the River Jordan. So if you go look at Elijah and Elisha and the 2 Kings and the Chronicles, everything happens at that River Jordan. We've been showing you that, right? It's what? It's a transition from out of Egypt. They're not supposed to be in the wilderness. Right? That testing place, the called out. We're not supposed to be the church anymore, guys. We're supposed to be all the way in sons. The church was never his dream. Sonship was his dream. But Moses couldn't take them into the promised land because it was based on his work. Right? Joshua had to take them in. Follow me? You guys getting this? So, when they accepted Joshua, what's in the Old Testament? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. What's after Joshua? Judges. See, this is how you interpret Scripture. If they didn't accept Joshua, what happens next? Judgment. It was poured out on Israel. It's not poured out on you guys. There's no wrath left for you is what the whole new covenant is talking about. After the Joshua, after Jesus, there's no lamb left. And if you don't accept him, these judgments are going to fall on that kingdom. That's the type and shadow. You guys get it? But if you see that the old covenant's been washed away, guess what? You get the double portion of Elisha, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're the new covenant. So you can walk around and go, man, I have the double portion, man, because the guy showed up in my church and prophesied over me, Jesus Christ, not this man of God or woman, like, heal and whatever, all that kind of stuff. No, the anointing came from the first portion, the double portion of Jesus, and he says, now you're a joint heir with me, amen? He was the first fruits, and you're also brought up in him. Now you're in the new covenant of Jesus. Everything that he deserved, now you deserve. Hallelujah. You got to see that the old covenant's washed away. There's no judgment left for you. Now, that's hard for some believers because they go, I'm better than that person. You know what? You're Beelzebub. You're mixing the thing. And you'll never fully enjoy the new covenant. And Jeff and I were talking about this. It's scary because there's a lot of freedom in it. And you can't point your finger at anybody. In fact, it says, he goes, you know what? I did this so that every mouth's supposed to be shut. You go, wow, but for the grace of God. So, I would tell you, and so, let any word that comes out of your mouth edify and build up who they are in Christ. Does that make sense? That's new covenant spirit. All right, 2 Kings 2:9. And it was when they crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Now, was Elijah's spirit a good spirit? Fire and judgment. Elijah is old covenant spirit. When the law was given at Mount Sinai, see, God introduced himself as Jehovah to Moses. I'm El Jehovah. Elijah. But grace introduced himself as I'm Elisha, the salvation of God. So Jesus goes, listen, Elijah, the judgment of God, I want that spirit, the firstborn's portion, to fall on me. You guys getting this? I got Christians running around asking for the spirit of Elijah. You don't want it. Please let the double portion, the firstborn's portion. The firstborn was Adam. Of your spirit be upon me. He said, you have asked a hard thing. If you go look that up in Hebrew, it says, man, that is severe and harsh. Is anything too hard for God? So it's not hard to God. What he's showing them is, really, Jesus? You're going to ask for that portion that man's supposed to get? Man, that's severe. Yet, I'll do it. You guys getting this? So now the new covenant starts to make sense. Hey, if I freely gave up my son and let that spirit of Elijah, the judgment and fire of God, fall on Jesus, then his firstborn portion will fall on you. Because he's the firstborn of the last covenant, the new Adam. And you're a joint heir with him. You don't want the spirit of Elijah. Jesus said, let that hard, harsh, tyrannical nonsense fall on me so that my kids can be spared. You guys get this? It's so awesome when you see it. So he said to him, you have asked a very severe and harsh thing, Jesus. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if it not, it shall not be so. If you see who? Who does Elijah represent? When you see that the fire and judgment, his presence, Elijah, the Jehovah God, leaves you. This will make sense once you get to the new covenant. Because Jesus cries out, my God, why have you left me? Jesus saw Yahweh God leave him. And the fire and judgment fell on Jesus. You guys get this? So he said, when you see me, when I leave, when Jehovah God leaves the presence, the spirit and judgment is going to fall on you, Jesus. Whoa. Then it happened. Whoa. As they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses and fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by whirlwind into heaven. Verse 12, and Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. Hey, you guys want to know why Moses and Elijah, bodies can't be found? Because the law and the prophets are over. They'll never find them. Amen. You guys get it? You'll never find him again. And if you go look, even Elisha says, that, hey, let us go see if he was taken away on some other mountain. Let's go see if this judgmental spirit somewhere else. And Elijah first goes, no, don't go look for him. It's not there anymore. Finally, he consents. He goes, and they come back. They go, we couldn't find him. You know, because they were with Jesus in the tomb, and you'll never see him again. The law and the prophets is gone, guys. Because that spirit fell on Jesus, and he's perfectly fulfilled it. Hallelujah. So then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water. So the firstborn portion that was supposed to fall on you and I, right? Because the first Adam sinned. What's the penalty of sin? Death, destruction, fire, judgment, right? That mantle fell on Jesus, and as soon as he struck the waters backed up to a city called Adam. I was showing you that last week, and he went across on dry land. No more judgment. See, the water was always a picture of judgment at Jordan. Amen? And the Jews always went across dry land, the ones that believed. Follow me? So, where is the Lord God of Elijah? When is he also struck the water? It was divided this way and that, and Elijah crossed over into the new covenant. You're now into the promised land because the judgment's been backed up to a city called Adam. There's no more sin. When the real God came on the scene, John the Baptist said, listen, that's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. As soon as Jesus went down into the water, the judgment of River Jordan, he came out. Guess what? The judgment of God's been backed up to a city called Adam. There's no more sin. Hallelujah. Man, if you get that. And what came on Jesus right at that time? He came up out of the water. Judgment's been gone. Now what came? The Holy Spirit. You guys get this? When Noah's ark rested on the curses reversed, once the curse is reversed, he sent out two birds, one that's looking for death, the raven, and the dove. Which one came back? The dove. This is a type and shadow. It said, as soon as the curse has been reversed, Jesus came out, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. And then we get this teaching, it's like, he's like a dove, he can be easily moved, and all this, like, God, you're missing the whole thing. You're missing the whole thing. No, it's saying his spirit's going to come down on you. It's peaceful. Amen? If it was going to run away because I didn't look at my dove, that's the new covenant teaching I see. Like, where are you getting this? No, because Jesus is going through the temple and he's throwing stuff around. And I'm sure his dove left, if that's the case. Does that make sense? He's mad. His wrath is falling on this old covenant system that nobody can fulfill, yet they're trying to put it on man. Amen? So it's not, your dove's not going to leave you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. It was a fulfillment of an old covenant type where the ark rested, the curse is reversed, the dove comes. The thing that feeds on death is gone. The spirit of Elijah is gone. That's why the raven doesn't return, because it only feeds on death. The dove returns. So Jesus comes out of the water, and guess what? The dove lands on the true olive branch, Jesus Christ. Now guess what? When Jesus ascends and leaves, which spirit falls on you? The dove. The Holy Spirit falls on you, his mantle. Amen? You get the double portion. That's what the whole Old and New Covenant is talking about. So, am I making sense to you? Okay, let's keep going. Let's show you another one. So, here's what he tells him. He said, Elijah, really? Or Elijah's telling Elisha, really? When you see me leave, when you see Yahweh God leave, this will happen to you. Right? When you see me depart from you, that spirit of Elijah, that hard, severe punishment is going to fall on you. So let's see if Jesus saw him leave. Matthew 27:45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. And you guys know that, right? The sixth hour is the first morning sacrifice, the temple sacrifice. The ninth hour is the 3 o'clock sacrifice, right? So Jesus is both sacrifices. Those were types and shadows. Hey, I was the one that was put on the cross at this time, and I was the offering at this time. So he's fulfilling those types and shadows. So Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Eli, Eli. Well, I don't know how to pronounce this in Greek, but Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you left me? Jesus just saw Yahweh God leave. Because when you see that, my judgment's going to fall on you. The spirit of Elijah is going to fall on you. Guess what? Did Yahweh God leave the temple at that time? Yes, the veil was torn, right? Why was it torn? Because God's not there anymore. And Jesus sees this leave when everybody else was dark, right? And he goes, my God, why have you forsaken me? You left me, God. And the judgment fell on him, right? Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on the reed and offered to him to drink. Hey, Scott and Brenda, I was looking at this more. This is the Nazirite vow. Because the Nazirite vow, it says, you shall have no more fruit of the vine, not even bitter wine. It said, but you know what? As soon as this man is sacrificed outside the temple, the lamb, the flower, the thing, as soon as somebody's, and they're shaved his head, now you can drink wine. So as soon as he took the bitter wine, the Nazirite vow is gone, guys. Hallelujah. That's why they said in Matthew 11, they said, listen, what should I liken to this generation? I just want to sell this because this is so much confusion in the church. Is, I don't care what you think. It's not really, but I see so much judgment, which is why people abuse alcohol and these different things because they feel judgmental about it. Did Jesus drink wine? Yes, of course he did. If you look at Matthew 11, he never took the Nazirite vow. You know who took the Nazirite vow? John the Baptist. Because I'm going to sanctify myself, is what it says. And then Matthew 11, Jesus goes, what should I like in this generation? I sent you John the Baptist. I sent you the Nazirite who didn't eat or drink. And you said he has a demon. I came eating and drinking, and you said you're a glutton and a drunk. Did Jesus drink? Of course he did. But how many guys, Laura, we went to Bible school and they said, if you drink brandy, you're going to go to hell. You don't know what spirit you're under. Jesus said, his first miracle was I turned water into wine. Now when you do it just as, hey, he prepared this for me. It's for life and celebration. Now you don't abuse it. If there's still judgment, you'll abuse it. So I'm not telling you to go, hey man, let's go party. I'm not telling you that. Because when you party and you don't have self-control, that means you're still, I promise you there's still some mixture in there. That you feel judgmental about it, or somebody's judging you about it. That's over, guys. Jesus came and said, listen, I got rid of that Nazirite vow. So when they said, see, the Nazirite vow is you can't shave yourself, you can't drink any kind of fruit of the vine, and you can't go to funerals. Right? Because you can't go in anything unclean. Unclean, as I showed you, is adulterated by mixture. So what that Nazirite vow is, it's a mixture. It's a law and grace mixture. Because that'll kill you. And so anyway, then it says, but here's the deal. Once the lamb is slain outside the court and somebody drinks the wine, then that Nazirite vow is over and their hair is cut. So Elisha comes on the scene. I was showing you this because this is one that will mess you up if you don't understand it. So the old covenant, the hairy guys, Elisha comes on the scene. They go, look at bald head, look at bald head. Because they were worshiping their self-righteousness. Look how hairy I am. I'm so set apart. I don't drink wine or eat things. Right? And Jesus comes, man, I prepared that for you. Why aren't you enjoying it? Does that make sense? And so they go, you bald head, you bald head. So the spirit of the spirit of Jesus, who is Jesus really ticked off about in the new covenant? The self-righteous. You think you can sanctify yourself? Oh, yeah. I'm going to send two bears and I'm going to devour this old legal system. He ate up the 42 children. You're still children if you're under the law, is what it says. You guys get this? That's a little tidbit. So, because that would mess you up. Like, wait a minute, the spirit of Jesus just ate these kids. Well, it's not a kid in the new covenant. It's not a new covenant. It actually says young men, right? And Jesus clarified it. He said, listen, so I just want to share it, because if you make it judgmental, guys, I'm just telling you, I think your kids and different people, they'll struggle with it. And the thing you don't want them to do, they're going to go do. They're just going to do it behind your back and do it worse. I'm trying to free you up from all this stuff. Does that make sense? Jesus never took the Nazarite vow. He goes, I made this for mankind to enjoy. Now do it responsibly. Amen? You guys get this? I don't care if you don't. I'm just saying, but don't think that you have to take that vow because it was a vow to purify yourself and you can't do it. Jesus said, I came on the scene and I sanctified you. You were trying to do it this old way and it's impossible. But I came on the scene and they'll go, now I made you saints. I set you apart and made you holy. Hallelujah. You guys know you're holy? You're just as holy as the Pope. It's true. I know, I got lots of Catholic friends that watch, and it's fun to me because, hey, it's, and I get it, because I'm like, listen, the Pope can't make you holy, sorry. Not even he can be holy. He has to receive his holiness from Jesus Christ, right? All right, so, that one got me in trouble. All right, Micah, verse 48, immediately one of them ran out and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and offered it to him. He was the one outside the camp. He goes, now you Nazarites, you can drink wine. If you go read it. He fulfilled the Nazarite vow. Right here. He made an end of the Nazarite. That's why Samson, his hair was cut, and he pushed down that old temple system. You guys get it? So there's all types and shadows. We debate this with our kids in Sunday school. Like, it's really not a story about what everything teaches, but they're okay. They're kids. They'll just think it's a story. But I want you to get the real meaning behind all this stuff. And I read these commentaries nonstop, and I'm like, God, no wonder the church is whacked out. Because they're trying to make stories up out of things. Like, this is the lesson learned from Samson. Like, no, the lesson learned was you can't sanctify yourself. He's got to push that old temple system down. Amen? Only Jesus can come on the scene. So, immediately one of them ran, took the sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on the reed and offered it to him to drink. That also reversed the curse. That also reversed the generational curse. Because in Isaiah it says, he who drinks the sour wine, no more will it be said in Israel that you'll have a generational curse. So this whole, the myth of generational curses is just nonsense. You cannot have a generational curse. None of you worried about a generational curse till somebody told you you had a generational curse. And Jesus clears that, John clarifies that in the book of Revelation. He goes, I got an issue with some of you guys. You're still teaching the heir of Balaam. And who God has blessed can't be cursed. So he's got an issue with all these deliverance guys that are teaching generational curses. He really does. Because which generation do you stop at? It says, once this man takes the sour wine, generational curses are forever gone. Hallelujah. That was the last thing that's been done. And then he goes, it's finished. What did he finish? The curse has been reversed. The ark came to rest, and the curse is reversed on Ararat. So Jesus goes, now I can rest. It's finished, and he rested his head. His work was over. Amen? You guys getting this? That's why it's good news. All right. So verse 49, the rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come. See, they understand what's going on. He's crying out to God. Hey, this was Elijah. Now, but here's what he said. He said, you know what? If you see me when I go, that spirit was going to fall on me. And then, this is where it gets confusing a little bit. In the Old Covenant, it says, my father, you'll say my father. Now, Jesus first says, when the spirit of Elijah falls on him, the fire and judgment, he says, my God, I just saw Elijah God leave. I saw Jehovah God leave this place. The temple was split. And it says in 2 Kings, he said, then Elisha split his own clothes. Jesus was the veil that was split, literally. That was a type and shadow. And then the veil of the temple, why was the veil gone? Because Jesus just saw Jehovah God leave. And he goes, why did you leave me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Then when he realized all the fire and the judgment is gone, what does he say to him again? It's finished. My Father, I give you my spirit into your hands. Because it says, we'll say, my Father, my Father. Now, when we see that the old covenant's been taken away, the spirit of Elijah, now what can we get to do? We get to say, my Father, right? Because we get the double portion of Elisha. We get the firstborn's portion. He's the firstborn of the new covenant. You're a joint heir with him. So now what do you get? The spirit of Elijah is gone. I get the double portion of Jesus. You guys get this? That's why, now this will start making sense to you. Matthew 16:7. This is not try to have enough faith verse. This is how all these are taught. This is what he's trying to show you. Because if you're trying to have enough faith to get your prayers answered, you will always struggle. Even the massive faith guys, when I get to them behind the scenes, you've seen this, you know what they start doing? Man, I'm worn out. I'm up there on the stage acting like I'm this man of God, yet, Mike, can you help me with this stuff? Am I joking? I don't want to name names, but they're big. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Why is it to your advantage? Because if I go away, my mantle's going to fall on you. You get this? So, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. See, Jesus saw the spirit of Elijah leave, and the judgment fell on him. But now when Jesus leaves, which mantle is going to fall on you? Him. His. He's the firstborn of the new covenant. So it's good that I leave, guys, because I'm going to give you everything that I deserved. It's all going to fall on every one of you, Jew and Gentile, handmaiden, everything. And it happened at Pentecost. That's what they get up and Peter goes, whoa, this is amazing. Guys, I'm not telling you, these guys aren't drunk on wine. You know what they are? This is what was prophesied. I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. You're anointed. You have the Holy Spirit. You guys get it? So what spirit are we supposed to be proclaiming to the world? Guys, your sins are forgiven. You're supposed to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. It's not because you have enough faith. Jesus gave it to his disciples. He said, freely I give you. Freely give this away. Amen? When does it come? When the curse has been reversed. That's when it came on Cornelius. Hey, as soon as you know you're completely righteous and all sins are forgiven, it says the Holy Spirit fell on him again to speak in tongues. Hallelujah. He's no longer speaking babble. He confused their language. He's speaking only one language, the language of Jesus Christ. He restored their tongues. Does that make sense? I'm going to disperse their tongues so nobody knows what they're saying. It's a confused message. Man, I heard this, and if you do this, you're a good Christian. And otherwise, if you do that, man, God's going to curse you. And if you listen to rock music, it's going to jump on you, and that spirit's going to jump on you, and you need to go get in this river and get cleansed and go to this stream and all this stuff. I go, that's Babel. That's mixing covenants. Does that make sense? He restored language at Pentecost, and he says, I'm going to give you one language. And they all heard them speaking the glorious wonders of Christ in their own language. There's only one language now, Jesus Christ. Now, the church does its best to make it Babel and mix the covenants. I'm trying to unmix. I'm trying to give you the unadulterated Jesus Christ in him alone, man. Do you believe in hyper-grace? It's the only kind. It's the only kind. Sorry. Well, I don't believe in hyper-grace. No, I do. I do. I know I get in trouble. Charisma Magazine hates me. So I'm like, what, if it's not hyper, what part did you qualify for? If you did anything to do it, it's no longer hyper grace. There's nothing you can do. It has to be hyper, or you're going to get babble. You're going to get mixture. You're going to be born of mixture. Amen? Why isn't this happening in my life? Because somewhere there's still judgment, man. I'm just telling you, you think you have to deserve it. And you don't freely go to the throne and go, Lord, change this. He will do it. But not if you think it's based on you. It's not that he won't do it. It's just you don't believe it. And as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. Because we're fearfully and wonderfully made. What we believe about ourselves is what we manifest. Now, when you believe, like, I know I suck, but I'm hidden in Christ so I can receive the blessing, that works. Just telling you. And outside of that belief is gnashing of teeth. I can't believe the freedom he's got. How come that's happened in his life? Lord, don't you see what I'm doing for you? I'm not even drinking wine. We're putzing around going, hallelujah, man. Praise God. Right? That's just picking one thing. So, I don't go to movies. That's what it was growing up with me. We don't go to movies. You know what all the kids did? Drove 20 miles, drank beer, and went to the movie. But it'd be better if we stayed in our hometown. Does that make sense? I'm just telling you, that legal system will stir up exactly what you don't want. Now, if you do it right, that's what I'm trying to tell you, there will be no spirit of judgment and you don't abuse things. You have a self-controlled spirit, is what it says in the New Covenant. Does that help you guys out? Okay, so nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away, my mantle won't fall on you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. What's the only sin? Scott, you and I were talking about this last week. Sin of unbelief. They didn't believe in Jesus. I'll convict you of righteousness because I go to my Father. When did Jesus go to his Father? When you were completely justified. When the curse has been reversed and every sin's been dealt for, I go. I died for your unrighteousness, but I was delivered for your justification. Hey, I left when you were completely justified. So if you see me go, just know that the curse has been reversed and you're completely just and sinless the rest of your life. That's what he's saying here. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they don't believe in me. That's the only sin you'll ever be judged for. Woohoo! Hallelujah! Now where the self-righteous don't get this, they think, you can't tell them that. They're going to run out and sin. No, they're just going to lie to you and drive 20 miles and do it. I'm telling you the truth, guys. When you know you're completely righteous, even though you miss it every now and then, you'll do it with self-control. So I'm trying to show you. Does that make sense? You mean I blew it this morning, Lord, and yet I am still the righteousness of God. I'm the spotless bride. Every favor superabounds in my life because of Jesus and Jesus alone. Now there's a rest for my conscience. Enter into his rest is what it said. What is his rest? He's reversed the curse and all the blessings can come on you freely. Jesus is the rest in the new covenant. All the promises are now yes and amen. Lord, I know I'm a mess, yet that promise is yes to me. That'll make you weep or cry when you get that. When you really get it, you're like, Father, thank you, Lord. If you're still under judgment, it'll make you weep and go, man, I knew God was better than this. I knew it was better than what I was believing. That's why non-believers are so close to God. They'll go, man, my God wouldn't do this. Here's how I think you should respond. I believe you're hearing God correctly because that's the real God. He's not here to judge you. He's here to save you. Does that make sense to you guys? Of righteousness because I go. Hey, you've been completely justified, so I can leave. I'm done with my work here, boys. Right? Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. What's the judgment of the Holy Spirit supposed to convict you of? That all sin, the enemy, Satan, everything's been judged and he's now under your feet. So don't exalt him and try cast him over the top of your house or building. Does that make sense? He's under your feet. It's the plate. He's worthless. He's been judged. Amen? You guys get this? So now you can judge anything that's not of the new covenant in your life. Lord, that's not of me. That's not who I am. I'm a new covenant spirit. I go boldly to the throne. Let's go to this next verse. Now you'll get this. Because if you see that the old covenant's been taken away, now you can say, my Father, my Father. Get it? Jesus tore down the veil. Every one of you can go straight to the Father now. So let's go to this next verse. See, these are not your supernatural faith verses. This is a reality to the new covenant believer. Romans 8, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Which one? Which spirit was that? Spirit of Elijah, fire and judgment. Right? But what spirit did you receive? If you see that the fear, the fire and judgment, the old covenant spirit is completely gone, you receive the spirit of adoption by where you can cry out, Daddy, Abba, Father. Hallelujah, man, if you get this. The old covenant's gone, guys. You've been received the spirit of the new guy, Elisha, God's salvation, and you can go straight to the Father now. That's what he's trying to show you. We make these into faith verses. Pray and fast so you can your prayers are answered. No, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Hey, you're no longer a slave under the law. You're a child. You're an heir, right? Slaves under the old covenant, they had to work. They had to do things to be pleasing to God. The new covenant, you just show up to me. That's why the prodigal son goes, I don't feel worthy. I've wasted my inheritance. When he shows up to the father, how does the father treat him? No way, you're a son. You'll never lose that. Yeah, but no, Lord, you don't know my private life. I do these things. No, you're a son. You've got the robe of righteousness. And the old brother's ticked. Who's the old brother? The old covenant, the older brother. You never gave me a lamb. Yeah, I did. You just didn't see it. It was Jesus. Right? Cain tries to bring his self-righteousness, the fruit of the ground, his work, right? If you read this closely, here's what God says. He goes, Cain, I'm not mad at you. In fact, if you change your way, there's a sin offering laying at your door. I brought the offering right to you. All you have to do is present me with the lamb. And we think it's there's sin at the door and you're going to trip over it and all this stuff. If you read it in Hebrew, he goes, Cain, I did all this for you. All you have to realize is I brought a sin offering right to your door. And if you present me with that, you'll be just like Abel. But the old covenant can't do it. Because it's self-righteous. Does that make sense? You seen the pictures? I'm just telling you, if you read it any other way than the type and shadow of Jesus, I promise you, you'll be Beelzebub. You'll speak in confused languages. And that's what happened to us for years. Like, God, that doesn't make sense. If you're a loving God, none of this makes sense. Because we were Beelzebubs. We had mixture, right? We were born out of mixture is literally what it means. So, the Spirit himself bears witness to your children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Well, if I'm a joint heir with Jesus, guess what? I'll finish this up right now. Here's just another verse, Galatians 4, 6. And because you are sons, I just showed you that you're sons, and because of that, now what? What's this amazing privilege? You saw that the spirit of Elijah was placed on Jesus. That's gone now. Now you can say, my father is what it says in Kings. So now in Galatians 4, because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit. His mantle fell on you versus the spirit of Elijah, right? His mantle fell on you into your hearts, crying out, Dad, I can go straight to the Father now, like the tabernacle of David, crying, Abba, Father, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then the heir of God through Christ. And what he's trying to tell you guys, he goes, what do you need? You're a son. Stop trying to earn it. You can't. You can't sanctify yourself. You can't be more holy. In fact, you'll be Beelzebub and you'll be double-minded and you receive nothing. That's what he's saying in James. He goes, just ask me. But don't be double-minded. Don't think I can earn it or get it freely. It's one only. They speak one language in the new covenant. It's Jesus, the glorified works of Jesus. Old covenant speaks mixed languages, mixed covenants. Babel, adulterated by mixture. New covenant, I heard them speaking the wonderful works of Jesus only. They restored their tongues. You guys get this? So if you're born in Babel, guess what? You're the typical new covenant believer in America. Not enjoying the inheritance that you should be enjoying. Because you're still trying to mix the two covenants. Right? You can go boldly to the throne and ask in his name is salvation. So anything that's covered in salvation, you ask for it, it is yours, signed, sealed, delivered, done. What if I don't have enough faith? He's the faithful one. Amen. It's not based on you. It's not even based on your faith. I know that flies in the face of all the faith guys. But go look it up clearly. The prodigal son, did he come in faith? Man, I don't even deserve this. I'm just going to go be a slave in my father's house. Did he have faith? No. All he wants you to do is come to him and then he'll respond accordingly. Does that make sense? Just come to the faithful one. Come boldly to the throne. There's no judgment anymore. That's why it says you can come to his throne and there's no fault finding. There's no reproach is what it says. He doesn't do this. Now, believers will do this to you. He won't do this. He won't go, Arnold, how'd you get yourself into this mess? If you use more wisdom, that's not how the Father responded at all. That's Beelzebub. It's a mixture of covenants. I'm going to respond to you as if Jesus himself, that's why I can boldly go and he's going to show me mercy. I'm not going to get what I deserve. He doesn't find fault. There's no reproach. And he finds grace when my kids need it. To help when in times of need. See, this is the spirit that fell on us. That's what I'm trying to show you. The old covenant, all that could fall on you was fire and judgment. Bears come out and eat you. Right? Daddy, therefore you are no longer a slave but a son. Let's finish this up. John 14, 12. Most assuredly. Now, if Jesus is saying most assuredly, how sure can you be? Only if your belief is more than your unbelief. That's not most assuredly anymore. It's a mixture. Does that make sense? Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Why? Why are we going to do greater works? Because he leaves his Father. What's going to happen? Because his mantle is going to fall on us. The double portion that Jesus had is going to fall on every one of you. The firstborn spirit has fallen on every one of you. So guess what? Could Jesus heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons? That's why he's saying you can do it. But only if you pay the price for it. Good luck. Whatever you ask in my name, what's his name? Salvation. See, this is where people get confused. Well, I asked for a Ferrari and he didn't give it to me. That's not in his name. Does that make sense? His name is, if you need provision, I've saved you. If you need health, I've saved you. If you need joy, I've saved you. If you need a sound mind, I've saved you. Ask for all that. Right? And then I'll do exceedingly abundantly beyond what you think. And see, people get confused by that. Well, can we ask for anything in his name? Salvation. What does his name cover? Whatever the first Adam lost, he redeemed. So anything covered in that, it is yours when you ask for it. What if I don't have enough faith? That's not what it says. You ask me, I'm doing it. I'm trying to show you how clear this is, but we've had so much mixture for so long, it sounds blasphemous when you first hear it. Well, that's not what this guy said. I just think he's wrong, humbly. I just do. Sorry. Most assuredly, I say to you. And then you hear a message on some TV station that gives you unassurance. Right? Yet Jesus is trying to go you, most assuredly. Amen, amen, he says. When I'm truly, truly, he says, I'm so be it, so be it. This is how it's going to be from now on. So how's it going to be from now on? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, do you believe in Jesus? I don't think you know what that means, most people. That means he's everything that the old covenant hoped for. He canceled your debt. He's made you rich. He's healed you. He's done all that. He's salvation that they were hoping for. He's the messianic kingdom right now that you can enjoy. Does that make sense? The Messiah is coming. Hebrews, it says, you've already come to this new mountain, the heavenly Jerusalem. It speaks better than the old one. There's better blood. It's Jesus, and you've come to this thing. So whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. So if it's covered by salvation, who's going to do it? Him and him alone. I will do it so that the Father is glorified in the Son. I'm going to show you how marvelous my works for by just believing in me. All right? If you ask anything in my name, in the name of salvation, who's going to do it? I will do it. Man, that should get you fired up about Jesus. This is where the guys who want to boast in their faith, because they don't like that. Freely I've given this thing to you, now freely give it away, is what he told his disciples. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. Why could they do all those things? Because the spirit of Elijah caused all of that. Leprosy, everything else. Spirit of Elisha comes on, and what does he do? He goes outside the Jewish nation. He goes to Naaman, the Syrian, who's their enemy. And what does he heal him of? Leprosy. What's leprosy a picture of in the Old Covenant? Sin. He healed even the Gentiles, is what he's trying to show him. Elisha did. Elijah stuck with the Jewish nation. He goes, hey, shape up, boys, or this judgment's going to come. Fire and judgment's going to fall on you, Israel. Did it happen? Yes, it happened. Elisha comes on. He goes, I'm going to freak people out. I'm going to go out to the Syrians. I'm going to go to Naaman and cleanse his sin. I'm going to go to the Shunammite woman and raise them from death. Right? I'm going to heal the waters so that the waters are perfectly clear from this day on. It's the first miracle Elisha did after he crossed over. He healed the land. They said, you know what? I'm going to form a new crucible, a new bowl. I'm going to put salt in it. You know who that is? You and I. Hey, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount goes, you are the salt of the earth. If you've lost your salt, you're worthless. Who's he talking to? Jews, if you tell them you have to do all these things, you're no longer this preservation system I've had. If you don't pay attention, I'm going to take this kingdom and disperse it into the Gentile nations. That's exactly what happened. You can take scripture, it means something. Does that make sense? But I'm going to form a new crucible and I'm going to put salt in it, and you're the ones that are going to go heal the world. That's you and I. That's Jew, Gentile, one body, one spirit. Amen? You guys get it? I got a new system coming on. It's a new crucible. You're the salt. What does he do? Hey, there's poison in this pot. These people are eating mixture. They're eating Baalzebub. Hey, take the bread. Take the bread and put it in the pot, and all the poison that's killing you right now will go away. Who's that a picture of? Jesus. See, Elisha came to comfort. Hey, I'm going to heal everything. Elijah's going to burn you up, but I'm come to heal you. Those are the different spirits. The new one is only good. It's only good. You got to go to church to hear the wrong thing. John 16, I will do it. Anything I've come to save you for, I will do it. Just have the sense to ask me. No mixture, no belief, unbelief, this, that, praying, fasting. No, you can eat and drink and still get it. How can that be? You guys get this? John 16, 23, in that day you will ask me nothing, most assuredly. He's going, you don't have to ask me anymore. I'm the veil that's going to be torn so you can go boldly to the throne yourself and you can call him dad. Hallelujah, man. The creator of the universe is now your dad. And you got the whole inheritance. But we've put up barriers called faith and different things. Faith has become a barrier, unfortunately. It was supposed to be your entrance in. Does that make sense? So all I'm telling you is freely go in. You don't have to have Jack. That should make you more sure. And that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly, here he says it again, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, who are you going to go to now? Father, I bring you to remembrance of what Jesus did. This is my new covenant. This is why I'm taking communion. Amen? And that's why Paul in Corinthians says, listen, if you don't discern the Lord's body, if you don't understand he was the new covenant, the salvation, some of you are dying young because you're mixing it yet and it's killing you. But he'll heal you, not based on your faith. That'll free you up. Just go to him. And you can ask the Father, but Father, Jesus qualified me for this. I'm just going to rest. I'm going to stop trying to have enough faith and let him do it. You guys get it? So I say, hey, he's trying to make us sure. That's the only way I can read this. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in salvation, until now you've asked me nothing in my name. Ask, you will receive. And you know what's going to happen? I am pumped up. Your joy will be full. I didn't know the covenant was this good. You guys get it? All right, let's finish. So what are we supposed to do? He said, listen, you're the new crucible that has salt. And in Romans it says, you are ambassadors of Christ. What are we ambassadors of? The curse has been reversed, guys. You're completely sinless. He sent the real lamb that everybody was hoping for in the old covenant. He showed up and he removed the sin of the world, is what Elijah was trying to tell the Jews. If you don't see this as the real lamb, in Hebrews it says, listen, this time is coming where this whole temple system is going to be reduced and there won't be anything left for you, so don't go back to those worldly elements. If you miss this lamb, there's nothing left for you. All that's left is the spirit of Elijah to fall on you. But every believer, Josephus talks about this, everyone who believed in Christ was saved, every single one. No wrath will fall on the believer. That's so wild when you look at these old covenant. So anyway, the good news of judgment is gone. We're to do greater works. Guys, you know why the Spirit fell on you, that every one of you can heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse? Because it's there to prove what we're teaching them is real. It's not for you to desire these, man, I want to walk in miracles. You freely walk in them, is what he's trying to show you. Just walk in them. Well, I need to pay the price. I didn't fast, and I did this, and I watched ESPN when I know, Lord, you wanted me to pray. I'm going to try to be more obedient. You know what you're doing? Baalzebub. You're mixing the covenants. You are. But how many guys have had that teaching? I remember we were sitting in church and he goes, Lord, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan and the game was on. It was like overtime. But I know you're calling me because I didn't call. You're going to, sooner or later, you're going to keep knocking, but that knock's going to get quieter and quieter. And you're just going to depart from me. So you're like, you're praying in tongues and trying to watch the game. If you're not obedient, that spirit's going to... No, garbage. Garbage. He freely gives it to you. Freely. His mantle fall on you. Period. Does that make sense? I hope that helps you guys. And I know it's freeing. It sounds confusing. You go, but Jesus was the most confusing dude on the planet when he showed up there. I thought we had to do all these things. And then he shows up. He goes, you don't have to do anything. In fact, if you do that, you're the son of the devil. What? So some of you guys, that's what you're thinking of me right now. Like, he's saying what? This guy has a demon. You can't let people be that free. We're to do greater works. Why? Because his mantle fell on us. He goes, listen, if I leave, the same spirit that's on me is going to be on you. And now you can heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Hallelujah. So you have limitless resources in heaven. Listen, if you see that the old covenant's gone away where you have to qualify for anything, now you can say, my Father, my Father. You guys get this? And that's all he's trying to show them in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He goes, those were all types and shadows. I'm the fulfillment, guys. This is what he was talking about. Because I go away and I took the judgment of the world upon myself, you can now go straight to the Father like I could. Hey, Elisha, when he was praying, they think they're in his trap. Like, Lord, this problem's too big for me to handle. What did he do to his servant? Open his eyes and see that greater is among me than he is in the world. Jesus says, listen, you think you guys can do anything to me? I can call on legions of angels to help me. Well, guess what? That mantle's falling on you. You know what you can do when you're in trouble? Father, help me. And legions of angels, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to be heirs of salvation? They're supposed to minister to you. You have the same angels that Jesus had. You can call and they minister to you. They help you. They comfort you. Does that make sense? I'm trying to show you how powerful you guys really are. Not because of your level of faith and it's because his mantle fell on you, period. End of story. Hallelujah. Now, don't try and mix it again. So you have the limitless resources of heaven behind you. You have the legions of angels that minister to you as an heir of salvation. I just showed you. If you're a son, you're an heir. And you can call on the Father, right? So you will receive whatever you ask for in the name of salvation. So what? You can start having joy of this new covenant. That's why the tears go away. That's why in Revelation says, you know what? This new creation, this new kingdom, says you've already come to it. It's the heavenly Jerusalem. That's why people miss it. They were looking for the earthly Jerusalem. He goes, I'm going to establish the tabernacle of David. And so we're still looking for this tabernacle, but Acts 15, Peter says, the tabernacle's been restored. Now Jew and Gentile can go in. It's a heavenly one. You guys get this? If I'm missing it, then show me. It's got to be good news. Does that help? So stand to your feet. I'm only doing it in 30 seconds to help Chris Abeda. He said, when I tell people to stand on their feet, it takes me 7 minutes to finish. So, hey, becoming a Christian's the coolest thing in the world. You don't even have to tell anybody. They'll know you by your fruit. I know that was me. I was like, man, I don't want to be a Christian. Those guys are nerds. I used to have fun. Then look at those guys, man. Ladies are wearing buns on their head and dresses they made and white socks and tennis shoes. I go, that sucks, man. That's not a Christian. That is a Nazarite. I'm trying to sanctify myself. Does that make sense? That's self-righteousness. That's the whitewashed tomb. That's the priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. So listen, you call yourself a Christian. Yeah, man, it's amazing. That's how good the new covenant is. Right? You guys get this? I know it's shocking because it's that good. They're like, whoa, I know you think I have a demon. They thought Jesus had a demon. I don't have a demon. I get that the water's been completely pure by Elisha. This water now is pure, man, because Jesus made it pure. There's no judgment in that water anymore. Does that make sense? And as more you just freely accept that, man, you go, you know what? He took all the spirit of Elijah. He took all my sin. He took all my shame. He even died for me. And if you go look at the story, he said the servants of Elisha, they went out and looked for him for 3 days, that old spirit. Couldn't find him. That's why they can't find Moses or Elijah. And they came back and go, that old spirit's gone. After 3 days, Jesus rose because you're completely justified. And if you see him rise, if you see that old system's gone, he goes, I will pour out my spirit on you. You become a Christian and a joint heir. Anything Jesus has is now yours. Hallelujah. That's what the whole book's about. Amen? So what does that mean for you and I? Let's make this practical. Which part of salvation are you not enjoying? By the way, if you believe that, you're born of that spirit, you're a Christian. It's as simple as that. Right? I'm not born out of the spirit of judgment. I realize all judgment's passed. Hallelujah. Now I can walk into the promised land on dry ground. There's no judgment. And all those promises are now yes and amen in the new covenant. Hey, you're going to enjoy things that you didn't work for. That's basically what he says. Follow me? So now let's make this practical. Which part of salvation are you not enjoying? Go straight to the Father and ask him for that. And he will do it so your joy may be full. May not be today, may not be tomorrow. He goes, listen, let patience have its perfect work, but it'll happen. Now you can rest, because I see people trying to have enough faith, not resting. Well, faith is always now. If I had enough faith, I'd have it now. Like you're misinterpreting the scripture. It's a knucklehead who's teaching you that. He's Beelzebub the king. He's mixing those things. He goes, if you ask, assuredly I say to you. You guys getting what I'm trying to show you? It's so much better than you've ever heard. I mean, every time I'm reading it, I'm like, God, Lord, I've missed this stuff. Holy smokes. It's way better than I thought. Right? That's why I tell people, you're a Christian. Yeah, it's way better than you think, man. It's way better. Hallelujah. It's the new covenant, the new crucible. You start sharing that to the world, it's good news, man. Right? Yeah, but you have enough of this. No, you have to have a mustard seed. And Jesus said, I gave you a measure. It's more than a mustard seed. Now, just come to me and ask and have enough sense and I'll do it for you. That's faith. Does that help you? You can rest. Lord, if I have enough faith for this thing in my body, just rest. Thank you, Father. I bring you to remembrance. If I didn't spare my son, how will I not freely give you everything that salvation covered, including divine health? Let's get it? So don't judge yourself if you're... I'm not trying to bring judgment on anybody. I'm trying to show you how free you really are. Does that make sense? So if you're struggling with stuff, I get it, man. Welcome to the club. He goes, but rejoice because I've already overcome that. I've already overcome that. Amen? So just rest and I will do it for you. That's what I'm trying to get. If you completely get judgment out of your heart that you're good enough because of Jesus and Jesus alone, even though you're all going to mess up today, including me. Right? Some of you guys are even going to tell somebody they're number one on the interstate today. And your wife's going to get mad at you. And see, that's why this is happening in our life. No, it's wrong. So I would take your little fish sticker off, man, if you do that kind of stuff. You're fishing all your little fish, because the little fish, when they grow up, they're going to do the same thing. I saw Dad do this. And, right? I'd love to see a show of hands, actually, but I won't. Hey, I've done it. So, right? I've told lots of people they're number one in their life. So, with colorful language included. It was beautiful. It was the spirit of Elijah all over it. So, and yet at the time I go, Father, God, grace super abounds, because I don't deserve this. Amen? So, that's what you ask him for. And then just rest. Enter into his rest, is what he said. I've already done it. Does that help you guys? But you can believe for supernatural things. That's what I'm trying to show you. Believe for stuff way bigger than you thought. And then just rest in it. Father, I believe you're going to do this. You know what it'll do? It'll self-propel you to do things that you normally wouldn't do. Now you'll start going, whoa, I'm excited about life again. The things I don't want to do, man, I'm doing this stuff now. It's not me who lives, like Paul said. It's the Spirit in me that's living. What's that Spirit? Whatever I put my hand to shall prosper. That's the Spirit now in me. Why? Because Jesus did the work, and he says, my anointing is going to fall on you. You have the supernatural favor of the firstborn. That's me. You have it now. Hallelujah. Well, how come nobody ever told you had it? Because they said you had to go to this man of God to get it. And you got to be clean to get it. Hey, if you miss it in one point, you're unclean. There's only one that can make you clean. And you're the cleanest when you accept Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, I don't care what it is. You pray. You just ask him that. When you wake up every morning, that's what you remind yourself. Lord, I am no longer under that spirit of Elijah. I'm under the spirit of Elisha, the salvation of God. And I can go straight to the Father now and ask him in that name. Hallelujah. I will find mercy, not judgment. That they can't find Moses and Elijah. They can't find them. Where are they? They were swallowed up in Jesus Christ. Does that get it? You're dead to it. You know where your old sin nature is? It's buried with Moses and Elijah, and you can't find it anymore. Hallelujah, man, if you get this stuff. So, Father, we love you. We praise you. We magnify you. Man, just show them how good you are, God. You're so good. I want their joy to be full. Father, I thank you. If they're struggling and stuff, just they can come boldly to you. And you're not going to judge them. You're going to find mercy, and you're going to help them. Your favor will pour out. Father, just ask for supernatural favor in their lives, in their marriages, in their relationships, in their businesses. Father, just say, we ask you, because Jesus qualified us. We pray in the name of salvation, the name of Jesus, that the curse has been reversed. There's no reason why every promise is not yes and amen. So we just say yes to every one of those. We say yes to supernatural provision in their lives. We say yes to supernatural strength, supernatural health. Father, if there's any dim eyes, that they're open to the revelation of Jesus right now. They see you clearly, perfectly, for the first time. They see the river's been completely purified. There's no blood. There's no judgment in that river anymore. We just thank you for that. We just say thank you, thank you, thank you. This week, show yourself like you've never shown, so they can only go, this had to be God. In Jesus' magnificent name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You're released with the spirit of Elisha, the salvation of God. Amen.